Okay, we are back on the record for the Alala Valley Vineyard and Winery CUP. We were going to hear next from staff as a follow-up to the applicant testimony as well as testimony we heard from the public. So staff wanted to.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record?
Candace Vickery.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I'd like to address Mr. Palmer's discussion of the definition of impervious surface. Kitsap County Code 12.08.010, which is definitions, subsection 36, impervious surface, means a hard surface area that either prevents or retards the entry of water into the soil mantle as under natural conditions prior to development. It goes on to state.
I have that in front of me. I'm looking at it right now.
All right. Yeah. It speaks to common impervious surface areas to include packed earthen materials. When earthen or grass material is driven on, it does become packed and retards the natural flow of water. It does not absorb into the ground as it would under natural conditions. So based on that definition is the basis for the conditions number 2, 3, and 4 regarding the need for a site development activity permit.
And does that change at all, given that, you know, this is mainly a summer activity, it will be used, it won't be used as often? We'd heard some testimony from the applicant about how they would be using that particular area.
But our interpretation is it does not change, because once the ground has been driven on and becomes packed earthen materials, it does not then loosen up on its own to accept stormwater in an as it would in a natural condition.
Okay. And as I understand, I think it's a total of, there are 4 parking spots in the buffer and 2 within the setback from the buffer. That's how I read the staff report. Is that correct? Just to make sure I'm reading that.
I don't believe there are any in the buffer.
And if Ms. Sands wishes to address that question, that's fine.
So I'm just going to clarify for the record, Meg Sands. It is one space that's within the 50-foot setback, 4 spaces within the impervious surface area of the wetland. So that's a total of 5. There are 2 other spaces that are associated with the stream impervious area. But we've determined that that's not an issue because of the access drive.
Okay, got it. So just one space within the setback, and then, or the 50, but I'm sorry, the 50-foot.
Correct.
I guess technically, but, well, yeah, setback, and then 4.
Within the impervious surface area of the wetland.
Got it.
Yes.
That's it for me. Any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Is there anything else from staff on the proposal?
Hi, for the record, Catherine Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. You swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, ma'am. So I just wanted to address, I'm the environmental reviewer on this permit, and I just wanted to address the buffer and setback with as far as the parking is concerned. Since Title 12 does establish this as an impervious surface, there are those spots located in the buffer and the setback. However, we have conditioned this permit to do a critical area buffer reduction as part of the SDAP review. So this is something that the applicant can achieve through this, but we just needed to go through the process of reducing that buffer. And I believe that it would be an administrative buffer because it's based on percentages, so anything less than 25% can be done administratively. And we can look at that through that site development activity review. So it's definitely something that's supportable But it just needs to go through that process.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from staff on this?
Yes.
I think that the health department had indicated there was a representative from the health department who was here.
Yes.
I didn't know if they wanted to add anything. I did have one question for them about the health department requirements. I just wanted to make sure we got those in to the record because I don't think they're posted online. That's sort of the standard requirements that are referenced in the staff report. So if they're not online, I want to make sure we add those to the record so I can take a look at them.
I'm Eric.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your name?
I'm Eric Evans. I'm with the health district.
And you sort of tell the truth.
Today. I do.
Yeah. So just to that, my question again on the standard health department requirements. Mm-hmm. If they're not, are they online, or if they're not, can you provide a copy following the hearing?
The regulations themselves?
Yeah, the yes. Standard regulations.
Yes, they are online. Okay. There's actually multiple that apply to this one. There's the drinking water regulations, okay. The on-site sewage regulations, mm-hmm. and the food service or the food regulations.
Okay, and they're all online?
Correct.
Okay. That was my only question. And then anything else from staff?
Yes. Yeah, so again, for the record, my name is Meg Sands. A couple of things to address. With regard to condition 18 in the binder, if the applicants wish to withdraw their application at some point in the future, then this project would no longer, in essence, exist, and they could request that we revoke or rescind that binder that would have been recorded. And there's a form that we basically write up that would indicate that the binder is now rescinded. So that's not particularly an issue, but we would have to have this project essentially be withdrawn so that this activity wouldn't be applicable.
Okay. So there's a process for
there would be
effectively removing it.
Yes.
And, of
correct.
Course, that CUP is an authorization anyway, so it authorizes correct. Certain activity subject to certain conditions. So, okay, anything else?
Yes. So it's interesting that Mr. Palmer indicated that he objected and had a fence to staff's request to show parking on the gravel area. The simple reality is we cannot perceive how parking would occur there. The expectation is any parking that would take place would be multiple spaces. They're showing right now with the demarked parking on there, 37 spaces. There needs to be 45. We recognize that there will be parking within the gravel area, but we cannot perceive how that would occur. So all we were requesting is that they show markings, standard spaces, 9x20, like in the other parking areas on the grass, so that we could see how that would be achieved. The reason for that, and it's been requested before, you'll see that in a record, is so that we can determine how that would occur, that they're meeting the 45 spaces, and it would not adversely impact fire access. So we're not asking for that area to be striped for an event. We're asking that we see how that parking would typically occur so that we can ensure that there's no adverse impacts, particularly for fire access. One of the things to recognize is that with any parking that's going to occur on the gravel is that there will likely be, if they're achieving the 45 spaces, blocked in vehicles. So there will not be full ability to leave a site if you are having somebody park behind you in order to achieve that. We wanted to see how that would occur. Okay. Just for the record, Exhibit 38 shows the portable restrooms. That they've supplied that information. So if you want to take a look at that, it's Exhibit 38 in the record. Now, I know that the applicant indicated that weddings are not a primary activity, but when we have a request before us, we have to look at the totality of what the request is, and we have to write conditions based on what might occur. And oftentimes what will happen is that when somebody first starts an activity, it's fairly slow to get started. There may be only a couple of events that take place. And within a year or two, they may be achieving their full opportunity for whatever activities that they proposed. So we have to anticipate that it's going to be for the full elements that have been outlined for 4 months, that there could be activities taking place multiple times during the week on the weekends. So we have to write conditions based on that, not just for what is happening right now or what might be perceived. In the context of the code 17.455, the agricultural code that's now recently, somewhat recently come into effect. We have to look at a project as of the date it vests. This project was vested prior to that code iteration. So they're not under that code for the review of this project. Furthermore, if you take a look at that code, there is additional requirements. Based on what their proposal is, there would be an expectation of more than 8 events. There would be a requirement for an application before us. May not be a public hearing, but it would still require at least a conditional use permit. It was our expectation that the applicant did not want to withdraw given the state that they were at. The other potential implication would be that there's a new stormwater code and that they would be applicable to that code rather than the current code of the date of vesting. So that would have a different impact to the project, potentially. Let me try to address the conditions. It's not really clear. As you know, there's multiple pages of a document that was just submitted to us today. We've had no opportunity to review it. But there was some indication with regard to conditions 12 and 13 mentioned by Mr. Palmer. So if we take a look at those conditions, conditions 12 and 13 are essentially based on what the applicant requested. So we have outlined those as conditions of approval. I think that there was a concern about condition 25, although...
and just to clarify, Sands, was my interpretation of those earlier, was that correct?
I want to get to that next.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that you were correct. One of the concerns is that if there is an event that has more than 35 people, that winery tasting room is not to be utilized. And the reason for that has to do with code requirements and that the bathroom facility does not comply if there is more than 35 people. So that's why condition 25 has been put in place. So to say that you might have a wedding, an outdoor event that maybe has 80 people, they cannot utilize that facility.
Now, that wasn't my interpretation. My interpretation was that as long as you're compliant with those other not occupancy numbers, you know, 35, or as long as you're in compliance with that, you simultaneously have the event and the wine tasting room open, you're good to go.
That would be the concern. If there's a wedding taking place that, let's say, has 80 people.
Right, but if you, let's say your numbers are all good. Like you're
35 wedding, outdoor wedding.
You add everybody up and you're consistent.
Then that would be acceptable. That's why condition 25 is written the way it is. There was a question, I believe, about condition 22 that was mentioned, and I think it still goes back to complying with the site development activity permit. And that condition we would still require to be in place. And I don't think that there's any other conditions to address. We do have the fire marshal here if you wish to investigate further kind of condition 25 and the requirements for the limitations and the limitations for the building.
Where does the 90 days come from? Is that, I don't think I've seen those on the other CUPs.
It's because this site has been allowed to continue to operate without land use approval for activities. And so we try to set a limit so that we can ensure that whatever is taking place on the property is consistent with code requirements. If this facility was not operating, then we would not stipulate a time frame. But it's under operation. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from staff? Did the applicant want to address anything that's come up?
For the record, William M. Palmer, and the answer is yes. I have three things I wanted to highlight, one of which I forgot to address when I was here. at the podium a few minutes ago. I'll start with that parking space in theoretical encroachment on the 50-foot buffer or setback requirement from the west property line. You will note on the colored site plan and also the 11 by 17 version of that that's black and white, that there's a vertical line showing alongside those horizontal lines. That vertical line is the 50-foot distance marker for that buffer area, or excuse me, setback area. And the parking that is shown on that grass field is on the east side of that line. So I'm not sure what the concern is for that. I think we've already made the point that we quite strenuously disagree with staff about their interpretation of the very Title 12 citation for impervious surface. And that's the reason for Fred Cagle's letter. As a professional engineer who has to deal with stormwater regulations day in and day out, his opinion has credibility. And it supports our contention that this is not, a grass field is not an impervious surface. And kind of interesting, but if you're going to plant a grass field, you're going to have to do some compaction, otherwise the grass isn't going to grow very well, or at least not uniformly. And most sites in Kitsap County, probably western Washington, kind of dry out in the summer months, and they're able to support things they can't do in the winter months. We have on file, it was presented to staff, and I have in my file a picture of this grassy field where the 27 parking spaces are shown that indicate in the winter months, the picture was taken on November 30th, that it's a pretty muddy field. The Chisholms are well aware of that, do not intend to have any parking take place. But if it goes to mud in the winter time, how is that compacted? And mud is perhaps not necessarily the best filter, I suppose, of stormwater runoff, but that's a condition that exists today in the wet months that we're here. They're not parking out there on that grass field because they don't want to get their vehicles stuck. May sound like a moot point, but it's more than a moot point with regard to things that kick in. If you go to one of the points I made in my discussion is if you go to Title 12 and try to figure out whether or not you have to submit a site development activity permit following the approval of the CUP, there are six different types of minor engineered site development activity permits. The staff didn't say which of the six that my clients would have to comply with. Didn't even discuss it. They did discuss major, but if you have a grass field and you're not clearing or grading, you're not doing anything that triggers a site development activity permit. I mean, you go through the definitions and that whole Title 12 section of what it takes to trip the requirement for a site development permit. I did include that in my letter. they're not going to do anything that trips that. Now, if the staff wants me to show in plan view how the parking, I'm happy to do that. It's not a problem, but it isn't something that's necessarily going to be on a part of a site development activity permit because we don't believe it's required. Because they're not doing anything on the site that would require it. And one last comment has to do with 17.455, which is the ag code. It was not in effect at the time we submitted an application, but it's interesting in my review of the staff report that citation for definition of an agricultural use was in the beginning parts of the Title 12 zoning ordinance. But when you get to that citation, you find that it's blank. And the reason it's blank is because in the current code that's available online, it defers to the definition or descriptions of agricultural uses that are found in 17.455. So in my text, I make that point, but it's not a big point. It's not, and I certainly took note of the difference between an ACUP administratively approved CUP and one that comes before you. We're way down the road. We're not going back to what's provided in the ag code. There's no need to at this point in time. But I'm aware of it. Any other questions for me?
Not at this time, no. Thank you. Is there anything else from the applicant that you all wanted to add to that? Okay, and anything else from staff?
Yes, I'll just clarify with regard to the definition under ag. That's taken from the code in effect at the time that the application vested. So the definition is 17.110.050. That's the definition that was in place as of the date of vesting. So if you were to look online today, that's a different code. Code version.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, hello.
Yes. Ann Spickery again. I would just like to clarify that the reason for the condition requiring a minor engineered site development activity permit is due to the proximity of the wetland and our interpretation of the parking area as impervious surface. The minor engineered site development activity permit, let me back up just a moment and say that this project is vested to the 2010 Stormwater Code, Title 12, which has two levels of site development activity permit, minor and major engineered. And the minor engineered site development activity permit is the lesser intense and lesser expensive of those permits. But it is related to the proximity of the wetland as a critical area.
Are any of those earlier versions of the stormwater code, should those be out of the record if they're not, like if the online code has been updated? Are there any provisions that so it's helpful for me to have the exact the language or the code language that's being applied to the CUP.
Mm-hmm. I could certainly provide that to you. I've referenced in the conditions that it is vested to the 2010 version, and any code citations of Title 12 in there is from that version. But I'd be happy to provide you with that.
Maybe if we could get the current version added to the record. And you can just give that to Ms. Santos after the hearing, and she'll forward it on to me.
Will do.
Yeah. Anything else from the applicant? I don't, usually we don't do too much back and forth, but I do want to make sure you address anything that needs to be addressed. Yeah, just to get it all on the record. Make sure the microphone picks it up.
Stuart Chisholm again. Yeah. Just one question for you, Ms. Drummond. Mm-hmm. Do you intend to visit the premises?
No, I do not usually do a site visit. I can consider it in certain circumstances if there are reasons to do so in order to make a decision. I'm not seeing
look at the field that we're discussing. I think if you are able to see the current condition, it would clarify that situation with regards to impervious surface or not.
Okay. Can you see it from off site, or do you have to actually enter the property to do that to see the area?
You could see it from off site, but mm-hmm. it would be much more easily. All the areas of discussion would be much easier seen from being at the bottom of that driveway near the winery.
Is there a way to photograph do a photograph and then PDF it to Ms. Santos? That would be another way to.
Yeah, we have. We actually have. I'm not sure if Bill did take photographs, and we did present them to the DCD. I'm not sure if they're on record.
But there are some photographs in here. I'm just not sure if they're exactly what you're thinking of. And of course, we've got the overall site plan, but that's not the same.
I'll be happy to take photographs and submit them.
Maybe take a couple and then send that to Ms. Santos. That would be helpful, I think. So that'd be a good way to do that.
That's it.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think that's it in terms of what we've heard. Okay, I think what I'm going to do is I'll keep the record open for, I don't know, about 5 days or so, maybe till Thursday of next week, just to allow for those photographs, allow for any code sections that have been that are no longer online that need to be added to the record, so I can make sure I'm referencing and reviewing the current provisions. It seems to me that a lot of these CUPs, the big issue is kind of a neighbor concerns and compatibility issue. It seems like that's not at all an issue here. It's really kind of fine-tuning the conditions and sorting out, you know, what's the best approach on those. So that's really, in terms of my deliberations, what I'll be focusing on is, and I did want some time to look at the correspondence that you all had submitted, because I have not reviewed that, and I know staff didn't have a chance before the hearing to take a look at it in case there's anything new in there. So if we keep the record open until about Thursday of next week, that allows any final materials to be sorted in. And again, my focus will be on looking at the conditions here, because I think that the general compatibility, there aren't those larger compatibility issues that are typically present with some of these CUPs. So, I'm sorry. One last thing.
Yes, I apologize. It just
occurred to me. Can you name again just for the
record? Oh, I'm sorry. Candy Vickery. Mm-hmm. It just occurred to me that the 2010 Stormwater Code is online.
Oh, it's still.
Both versions are there.
Oh, okay.
I'll provide Ms. Santos with a link to that so you can get directly to it.
It's easy for me to get all that. If it's online, if it's on the county website, I can access it.
But yes.
No need to do that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all. Is there anything else we needed to address today? No? Okay. Thank you all for presenting, taking the time to come here today. We are closing the hearing and are adjourned for today. And just you know, the record's open through Thursday. And then as of close of business Thursday, a decision on this will be out within 10 days. That'll be emailed to Ms. Santos, and then she will forward it to the applicant and anyone else who's on record, and she has their email or who's a party to the proceeding. Thank you.